Well, this is not a formal Dharma talk, but I will go to the Buddha for oneness of wisdom. We'll follow the Dharma for the expression and pointers to that wisdom, and I will do my best to listen to the music of the Sangha. So I was reflecting on Orioki. We're sitting in the Orioki meal, and each person has their allotment of food, and each person, each one of us, has our experience of that food. And some people are putting salt on, and some people are putting hot sauce on, and some people are taking salt off, and some people are, you know, doing all the things that we do with food. And we each have our individual experience. And yet, part of that experience is the rhythm of the whole meal which we all share. So the bowing, the chanting, the raising, all affects us. All affects how we experience Orioki. Orioki is not about, I will just know this experience of the taste of food. It's about the whole gestalt, the whole scene. The ritual affects the taste of food. Lots of interesting research about how sound affects taste. The taste affects the ritual. The music of Orioki is the whole music of the taste, the rhythm, the texture, the gravity of your body on the seat, the sensation of mastication, swallowing. Now, there are some people who are resistive to the rhythm, to the dance. And they just say, it's only what's in my mouth, my mouth, my mouth, my taste, my flavor. But as we practice, we begin to realize that who we are and what the environment is not separate. There's always a dance. So when we're playing music, as we will this afternoon, we have two different simultaneous experiences. On one hand, here we all are, sitting in this very rarefied atmosphere, calm, serene, fresh air, spacious, with surrounded by good people and very great harmony. And we'll be sharing some music. And theoretically, we are all hearing the same piece of music, and yet, just like food, we know that each of us is having our own experience of that music. Each of us is partaking of it in a different way. So we are part of the dance, part of the music is the room, situation. Part of the music is the gravity that we feel of our body, the sensation that we experience by feeling the music, the weight of the music, the lightness of the music, the intimacy of the music. And just as each person knows what their particular food tastes like, at the same time, our experience of music is intimate, personal, and individual. If we have pleasure in the food, and pleasure in the ritual, and pleasure in the presentation, if we have pleasure in the room, and pleasure in the sound, and pleasure in our life, our being, the multitude of experiences that are flowing through this life, if we have pleasure, the whole room, the whole world shares in that pleasure because we're all part of the same altar. As we listen to this piece of music, and the music is going to be the teaching. It is music that, depending upon our minds, will receive it in a different way. I used to usually just present it without explanation, but today we'll a little background. This is a piece by Beethoven. It's a piece, one of his late string quartets. And this particular one, 15th, 131, this particular one, he, nearing the end of his life, it was written in the late 1820s, I think. He died in 1825 or 6. And he had been in bed, sick for a month, thought he was going to die. He'd had a hard life. And he had suffered a lot. And, as all of you know, he was either almost or totally deaf at this point. So after this period of sickness, he had he revived, had a rejuvenation of energy, and he was listening to the deep harmonics, the deep tones that came out of his gratitude for being alive. And in a way, this is a kind of blessing. Now, it required, in my experience, I have almost no musical aptitude. But in my experience, listening to this music is a kinesthetic and emotional feeling. There are touchstones. And so you listen with your body and with your emotions. And it's not crude. It's regarded as one of the apogees of the classical period of music. It's not crude. It's very rich, very deep. It requires attention. So I usually don't play this until near the end of a session, because it takes attention, and many people aren't accustomed to this flavor. So please appreciate in your own being, in the dance of all of us sitting here in this room, in the attempt by this magnificent composer to try to express something in a way that can touch us, to express something from the depths of his being. Now, again, he couldn't hear what we think of as the sound of this voice. He couldn't hear. So he had to hear in a different way. And it's helpful, I think, to also reflect on our hearing. So we did the toning. We've done the five warrior syllables. And if you, in your mind, without making any sound, just go through the five warrior syllables, hear them in your mind. Hear them with your mind's ear. Hear them intimately. Aum Hung Raza. And it's that kind of hearing, that kind of intimate personal hearing, will also help you appreciate, give life to this wonderful piece of music. The last bit is when we're listening to music, as modern people, we tend to think of consuming things. I'll consume this food. I'll consume this sound. I will consume this clothing. I'll consume these computers. But listening to this particular piece, and I think quality of music in general, is to own the music, to own it by owning the part that's in us that is receptive to it, by being willing to taste and resonate with it. By owning our own life, our own heart, we own that which is in harmony with that. So this is about tasting, owning, intimacy. If you are somebody who has not listened to much classical music, its foundation will not feel so familiar. But the way that Beethoven always does things, he starts off with kind of a home place, some home sound, home theme. And then he'll try all kinds of variations, almost getting back to it. And then eventually it comes together. There are five movements of this, so don't think about it, just listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.